Okay. So once again, in this case, perception is reality. Sometimes folks that, you know, live in a different area or relocate in from a different area of the country, their perception of what they can get for their money or can't get can sometimes slow things down. And through the exercise of making offers on homes that they may have missed, they become more and more dialed in to what really matters in their home search.
You're listening to Charlotte Community Talk with your host, Scott Pridemore and Mike Hagee.
Hey guys, Mike Hagee, Scott Pridemore here for another episode of our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Mike, let's talk about a subject that is on all the minds of buyers in today's marketplace, right?
Absolutely it is.
So here it is, Mike. I'm going to throw it at you, and then I want you to answer the question. And of course, as always, I'll throw in my two cents on that as well. The whole idea here is to add value to someone's experience as it relates to real estate. In this case, we're answering the question, what are three ways that buyers can stay positive in a seller's market?
Gosh, that's a loaded question, and it's a great question. As you mentioned, it's in everyone's minds. You know, we've personally encountered it, our team has encountered it. You may be feeling this right now, and there is hope. There's a house for everyone, and staying positive throughout what may feel like some turbulent times, or not winning on the first try. As they say, try again. Sometimes the first way that comes to mind might very well be the approach. I do think that if you're examining the approach of what you learned the first time, perhaps on the second, and hopefully not beyond that, but if so, you're learning each time what the market is bearing on that particular house in that general area, and examining the criteria that you've laid forth as your needs versus your wants, and or the approach that's delivered, is probably a top tip to think about.
That's a fantastic point, Mike. So really, when you say the approach, obviously, we all are the adaptation of our experiences, right? So for a buyer in today's marketplace who may have made offers on more than one property and missed, meaning the seller did not accept the offer, reevaluating and you've constantly evaluating that approach can go a long way with respect to one's ability to win the offer, right? So whether that means dialing up sales price as needed, there are many levers you can pull in this approach. That is, it could mean increasing due diligence. It could mean adapting your ideal close date in alignment with what the seller is wanting to achieve with respect to timing. Another way to evaluate that approach might be someone that has decided in the beginning that they want a half acre lot, and they're not willing at that point to compromise on that, but further getting into the market and understanding the market, maybe they found some other opportunities that were just less than a half acre that might have been great opportunities, right?
Absolutely. I think it's fluidity of the needs and wants. If you, in the beginning, if you're a buyer, you say a half acre lot, you know, maybe the question is the what if. Like, what if there was a quarter acre lot on a private cul-de-sac that backed the woods? Is the need for the half acre lot for privacy? In which case, a quarter acre, half the size, might actually accomplish that.
100% agree. Or maybe you back up to, like, I have friends and clients that back up to Freedom Park, right? So their lot is about 3/10 of an acre, but they have access, direct access to a public park with soccer fields, basketball goals, a play gym for the little ones, right? So, you know, it's always a good idea to try to identify your preferences from the beginning as a general framework, but just understanding where we are in the market is somewhat fluid. So sometimes you have to pull those levers to get to the point that there's going to be a good home for you, right? And be open to adjusting and evaluating.
You have to. I mean, particularly if you've lost out on a few properties. And like you mentioned, if you've got a soccer field, that if that's very important for you, that's part of your family rhythm in life, is exterior sports or recreation, is re-examining. Maybe it's not that particular park. but maybe it's another park that's relatively closer. Maybe it's within driving distance of that park. And that might be okay considering what you're willing to accept now versus what you started off with. And that fluidity and flexibility, particularly as time goes on, that adaptation, as you mentioned, is solid. That's a solid point.
Absolutely. And here's another, the second point that I will bring up, and let's have some dialogue around it, is just looking, keep in mind that you as the home buyer, you're looking for one property, right? So the good news is you're looking for one, you don't need five, right? And there are a lot of buyers in the marketplace here in Charlotte. And being optimistic and understanding that each buyer has their own preferences for type of home, as well as where the home is, right? And there are many different things that a buyer is going to consider. You know, we talked about lot size, bedrooms, baths, school system, what have you. I would suggest that really being focused in on certain areas, not just one, is a way to open things up and just be open to looking at more than one given area.
That's a solid point. And you have to think about it this way. If there's 15 offers on a property and you made one, that means there's 14 other buyers in the same general geographic area, same general style of home, that now have to find a home in addition to you. Only one got the deal. Only one moved forward and purchased. So if you're looking at one geographic area, being flexible to other areas that are relatively close can be really beneficial for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, when it comes down to people that we survey that do end up finding the home, we're successful at securing a home for them and we close, time and time again, those buyers share their feelings that, you know what, it just was a matter of them getting familiar with what they can and can't buy in the given areas that they were considering. Okay, so once again, in this case, perception is reality. Sometimes folks that, you know, live in a different area or relocate in from a different area of the country, their perception of what they can get for their money or can't get can sometimes slow things down. And through the exercise of making offers on homes that they may have missed, they become more and more dialed in to what really matters in their home search. Right.
Absolutely. I mean, gosh, being flexible in areas is certainly a salient point. And kind of what I'm just thinking about as well, if you're in multiple offers in the beginning of this process, you might feel like in that general geographic area, based on not having drawn from experience, because it's the first try, you might look at the sales price as, you know, that's something that can be negotiated off of or going over by someone. And it's hard to say in that one, there's so many variables and context, but on average, we're seeing, and this is kind of a generality, but 3-8% over list price right now. In some cases, the wild card offer might come in at 10% or higher.
Yeah. In certain neighborhoods, obviously, you know, there are definitely examples and we could share stories where in fact, those numbers exist. And then, you know, on the other hand, for someone that might be watching this video, that is considering a broader range of geographic locations, then you're going to have little micro markets all around Charlotte that really tell a different story.
And right? That's the merit of the point is like if that one area that you really thought was the A+, and there might be another area you're just not as familiar with, going back to those needs analysis of, you know, I need a good school district, I need to be close to a parks and rec, I need to be close to where I work or within a commutable range. Perhaps in that submarket you really wasn't familiar with, it may not be as competitive if you're open-minded to it.
All good points. Love number two. So let's talk about number three. Be open to a home that may need work.
Gosh.
Let's talk about that.
It's so true that you walk into a home and you only have a chance to make a first impression once. So there is that. And when you walk in...
Wait, real quick, that's what we tell our sellers all the time.
Tell them all the time.
You have one chance to make a great first impression with the buyer, with a home buyer.
With
right?
a home buyer.
Yeah.
And that's where if 80% of people walk in and potentially walk back out based on blue walls, not being as clean, pictures aren't right, not staged, dark, you know, that could be accomplished with better lighting potentially, a fresh coat of paint, maybe some new carpet. And you have to envision a home as it's a feeling of location and what the community assets have to offer, the amenities that a neighborhood might provide. And you have to think about everything inside, if it's cluttered full of items, being completely vacant.
Totally agree. That's a great point, Mike. So really, I think we both agree where the home is located is the most important part of a home buyer's enjoyment of that given home. Yes. Because where it's located cannot be changed. But hence, a home that needs updating, meaning paint and, you know, kitchen, baths, refinishing hardwoods, landscaping, all of that, and this is all assuming you can get it for a price that is really in justification of where it is in a condition, right? There's an opportunity there. And a lot of home buyers in today's market might be only looking for move-in condition homes. So it opens you up to more possibilities in the area where you really where you want to settle, where you want to be.
I could have said it better in the end. I mean, it's where you live is important, and the box isn't as important as where the box is located.
Sure, sure. And obviously, we certainly recognize that time is equally as important as the home that you eventually choose. But just thinking of ways to really think creatively in this very competitive landscape, being a seller's market here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we hope you enjoyed this session today, where we discussed three ways for buyers to stay positive in a seller's market.
Thanks for watching, guys. And if you haven't, please hit the subscribe button. Follow us on social. We love to engage with you. If you have any questions, we're always here to help.
Absolutely. We're always trying to add value. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Charlotte Community Talk, brought to you by Pridemore Properties. For more information and for more podcasts like this, check them out at pridemoreproperties.com.